You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. Today, we're very lucky to be joined by Aaron Elder, who is a creative leader with an entrepreneurial spirit that drives meaningful business results. Currently, Aaron is the director of Creative Studio, Brand Communications, and Partnerships at Artera Wines Canada. She has delivered repeated success across both creative and business teams over the past 30 years. Stun face emoji across all forms of media, print, digital, social video, and in-store retail. Aaron is a creative problem solver with a passion for creating strategic assets that serve to connect brands with their consumers. But most importantly, Aaron sees the potential in people and works to develop their talent and opportunities. Aaron, welcome to the podcast. So happy to have you. I'm very excited to get to know you and your background a little bit better.
Thank you, Daryl. I'm thrilled to be here, a little bit nervous, but looking forward to exploring our topics of conversation today.
Awesome. And for our listeners who can't see, Aaron's wearing an extremely beautiful purple outfit right now that makes me feel underdressed for this episode. So thank God it's just audio. So Aaron, wanted to, just for context, hear about your background. How did you get to where you are today? What is your origin story?
Well, it goes back some time. I started out as a photojournalist, actually, and wow. I worked for Canada's news magazine, Maclean's Magazine. I was very fortunate to get a job as a part-time assistant in the photo department, fresh out of school. And I was able to be mentored by the photo editor, who was Peter Bragg, who's quite an acclaimed and well-known Canadian photojournalist. So I started there, and I did everything from pick negatives up off the floor to working in the darkroom to filing photos in the cabinets, and fortunate to be able to handle images from 1879 to Karsh to, you know, the leading wow. photojournalists of the day. So I really was able to see quite a great breadth and depth of the photographic story from all over the world. It was quite extraordinary. And under Peter's tutelage, I ended up doing some assignments. I started doing more and more photo assignments for the magazine, and photographed political conventions and business leaders and entertainers. I traveled to the U.S. and Mexico and China, and it was quite extraordinary. I was incredibly fortunate. And one day I was talking with Diane Brady, who was, she used to be a writer at Maclean's, and she had moved over to Hong Kong. And we were just chatting, and I was asking her kind of about what she was doing. And it just sounded so interesting that, I sort of suggested, well, maybe I would go to Hong Kong too. And she said, well, you know what, if you can focus, you can probably get a job. So I knew I could do that. Mm-hmm. And so shortly after, I jumped on a plane. I'd been at Maclean's for about 5 years, and I really just wanted to find out, you know, how good I was as a photojournalist in the world. So I moved to Hong Kong and practiced wares for about 6 months. And I ended up working for a magazine called Asia Week.
nice.
And I ended up being the photo editor there. And that was the beginning of my photo editing journey. So I kind of transitioned over to the other side. I loved photojournalism. It's great. It's a way to get behind the scenes, to meet real people, to talk to them, to find out the real, extraordinary and very gritty stories that are around the world. But in my journey, I also realized that there's a lot of great talent out there. And what I was very good at was working with people and photo editing. So I moved over into that, and I was there for a couple of years. I was there for the Hong Kong handover, which was an extraordinary time.
Yeah,
incredible. Remarkable. And the Globe and Mail ended up recruiting me there. Peter Bragg actually let me know that they were looking for a director of photography. The Great Grey Lady discovered that they had to learn how to onboard color photographs and big photos. The National Post was about to launch in Canada, so they knew that they needed to be big and bold and visual. And so I was hired from Hong Kong. And I went and worked at the Globe and Mail for 10 years ran the photo department. And that was through all kinds of journeys and transitions and, you know, world news and Canadian news, major moments in everyone's lives.
Oh, yeah.
And after about 10 years, I decided I wanted to learn about how we made money. So I had an opportunity to move over to the business side under a gentleman named Roger Dunfield, Dunbar. And I worked on a couple products, Globe Campus and Globe Careers. And then I had an opportunity to go to advertising and work with them to launch Globe Alliance, which was the international ad network, where we partnered with publishers from all over the world and sold their Canadian inventory. So that was a tremendous business. And the last portion of my journey, or to date anyways, I had an opportunity came up at Artera Wines Canada to run their creative studio and to manage partnerships and to do brand communications. So it seemed to kind of bring all parts of my professional life together. And I joined March 2020. I was the first virtual employee of COVID. So I resigned at the Globe and Mail after 20 years, and then COVID hit, and everybody was sent home from Artera, and I wondered if I had a job, but fortunately I did, and they onboarded me as their first virtual employee, and here I am today. So it's been just over 2 years now, and it's been tremendous.
Thank you for sharing, Erin. The first virtual employee, what a title to be had there. How's it? I'm just curious. How has it been? So you obviously were the first one of Artera, but you know, I can assume that you've been part of building your team and hiring and onboarding other team members since March 2020. How have you found working from home and onboarding, or I guess virtual employees and managing and working with team? How have you found it?
Oh, that's a great question, and you know, it's something that we continue to manage today, because now we're of course doing the alternative, which is going back into the office, starting to go back into the office. Initially, you know, it was great. It was this is a highly productive medium. You know, it was great. You would be able to sort of, you know, people were very organized and be able to sort of share assets and information. The onboarding process was great. I had you know, a number of meetings set up with the key stakeholders from around the organization, so I was able to meet them really quickly. But then, like everyone else, your calendar just fills up with, you know,
15 minutes here, 30 minutes here.
Number of meetings throughout the day. So it was, you know, it was an extraordinary time. Not only had the organization made a strategic shift to become more consumer centric, but at that time, but then with COVID hit, we also had to juggle and manage through that circumstance as well. So the first year, you know, when I first arrived, all the marketing plans got thrown out the window and we had to kind of go in and recreate, which was an unusual thing in that, you know, you were just getting to learn the business. You know, typically you sort of have 30, 60, 90 days to do your deep dive and learn a little bit more about, you know, the processes and the people and the products and things like that. But we hit the ground running fast and it never stopped. So,
Wow. It's definitely been a journey, I think, for a lot of people. And that'll resonate pretty strongly with people who've been hired during that time too. What a time. I wanted to talk about and ask you some questions about your time at Globe and Mail and as a full journalist, because that's really interesting to me. First of all, you know, for all the I have a content team in our agency and they're all camera nerds. What was your favorite camera throughout the years? You know, are you looking back on all of the photo work you had to do, what was kind of the one that you keep thinking of?
Well, I was always a Canon user, and so I had a number of different cameras as we, you know, as I worked through my career. I did buy a Leica. The Leica wasn't for me. it you know, it requires a very different mindset. It requires really slowing down, I think. And you know, when you know, when I was, you know, working, you know, in photojournalism, things are very fast. It's found creativity. So, you know, you're finding things, you're anticipating, and you're, you know, shooting on the go all the time. I find that the Leica is a little bit of a slower medium, perhaps, or at least that was my experience. So very much it was that. And yeah, it's great. I have to say, I do take a lot of photos now with my phone, though. And, you know, quality of the images that I get off my phone was the quality of the image that I got off my professional camera 20 years ago. So it's pretty extraordinary what technology and what the cameras can do today.
Definitely. So again, I'm stunned by some of the moments in history that you had to, that you were a part of, being in Hong Kong and just being a photojournalist and then the director of photography there. I would love to hear about, you know, what was the shoot for you or the piece of content or article, that you were a part of that kind of sticks out in your mind as the one that, was the most unique, what was your favorite shoot that you've been on, essentially?
My favorite shoot that I've been on? Well, I would have to say when I went to China, so I was able to be fortunate enough to be on the first flight when Canadian Air opened up its flight lines there. So we Wow. went over there. We did a series of interviews. We were in Shanghai and Beijing, and it was just a complete eye-opening, extraordinary moment. Also, I went down to Mexico and I photographed the president, Carlos Salinas. So I stayed with him for 3 days.
No way.
Not speaking any Spanish whatsoever. So it really was very much about, you know, watching and listening and being able to use my intuition to sort of identify, you know, when the right moments were going to come along. But that was great. And from a photo editor point of view, the Hong Kong handover was just remarkable. Not only did you have tremendous talent coming through at that time that we were fortunate enough to be able to work with. I think we had 20 photographers out in various Wow. parts of the city. But it was a huge effort of, you know, understanding what was happening where, anticipating, mapping out the story prior to the event itself. It poured rain.
Oh, yeah, and, Hong Kong does that.
You got all the images back, and then you actually had a chance to really shape the story afterwards. So there was a lot of pre-planning. There was a lot of anticipation as to what was going to happen. But, you know, you work with good people and you end up with great results. So so that was certainly a highlight in my life. 9/11 was also another extraordinary moment. Very different sentiment, of course, very mm-hmm. tragic time. But the Globe and Mail, we were one of the publications that ended up publishing the photograph of the people that were jumping out of the tower.
Mm-hmm. I still remember that.
Lots of discussion, lots of conversation. None of that is ever taken lightly. You know, we did feel that it was very much a reflection of the event itself and kind of just the extremes for which people went to escape the situation that they were in. Then there's been, some really wonderful moments with, you know, sports teams and entertainers and politicians. My first assignment actually was the night that Bob Rae won the Ontario government, won the majority. So that was pretty amazing. I went out with Peter Bragg and followed alongside and took photographs. I came back, we processed it. Everything is in slides, of course. And when I looked at mine were orange, and I was like, oh my God, like I've just totally bombed this experience. Drawer. I helped everybody else edit their materials. We, you know, laid out the magazine, put it to bed, and then Peter said, "Well, where's your pictures?" So I kind of embarrassingly brought them out and said, "Here they are." And he's like, "You had the moment. Like, you totally had the moment. It's just, you know, we can color correct that in the magazine." I was like, "Ah, chance missed." But it was also, it was a kind word that, really sort of made me believe, like, you know what, I got something here and I can do it. And that launched a whole career.
Wow. I'm extremely jealous of some of these moments that you got to witness and be a part of creating. I wanted to switch gears a little bit, but you did talk about kind of the time that you spent using a Canon and then a Leica and then eventually your phone. You have a perspective on content that a lot of people, you know, may not have or haven't had the experience to have. You know, now in your current position at Artera, what, in your opinion, what has been, you know, some of the biggest positives out of the shift in basically everyone having their phone and having a powerful camera to record content? And what are some potential, you know, negatives or not even negatives? What are some things that you think we need to watch out for when it comes to creating content? Just because I think someone who has been in your position for the amount of time you've been capturing content, historical content, to now, you know, I'm sure you've taken several pictures in the last couple of weeks where it's just like, I'm just going to take a picture of this for either memory or for something else, right? So, yeah, what are some positives that you think that can come out of this, and what are some potential things to watch out for?
Well, I think what's amazing is, you know, it has given everybody the opportunity to record the world around them, right? And to share that with, you know, loved ones, and to share that with strangers and wider audiences, things like that. So, I mean, that's obvious. That's been happening for a very long time now. They're wonderful devices. I'm a big believer. I have no problem with taking even, you know, professional photographs with an iPhone. I did some for Strategy Magazine recently, and
nice.
Yeah, our former CMO Andrea Hunt won Strategy of the Year, so I took some photos there. You know, I think that it's the great enabler. I think everybody can take a photograph, and with the filters and the way that the cameras are designed and structured, you know, people look, can do great work, can capture great things. Some of the dangers or the downsides that I would have, you know, and I guess based on my background, would be, you know, things can look really great, but, you know, I think for things to stand out, with so much fabulous work that's out there, with so much strong visualization and you know, great outstanding communication skills, the, you know, what's sometimes missing, or I think where sometimes we get a little bit tripped up, would be things look great, but it doesn't really have the gravitas and the story and the history and perhaps the craftsmanship behind it. I think that is something that really becomes a very distinctive advantage to individuals, to brands that want to stand out. So, you know, having all of that foundational development, those skills that I developed, you know, many years ago, I think they've just become so intuitive now, and so just kind of built into the way that I look at the world and the way that I explore the world, that, you know, I'm able to kind of bring that together. And I think that makes for a more powerful visual communication storytelling piece.
That's great advice.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand, and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Now, working at Artera and being there for 2 years and a bit now, you're exposed to a lot of wine. I'd love to hear, you know, what is your favorite varietal of wine? Have you been able to develop one over the last 2 years? Or have you had one for a while and Artera just kind of expanded it? What's your go-to within your guys' portfolio?
Well, I'm still tasting my way through the portfolio, and Artera has over 300 brands, so I've got a little bit of a ways to go.
Yeah.
Yes, we're Canada's largest marketer and producer of wine in Canada. My go-to favorites are absolutely the Okanagan wines. BC wines are incredibly special. Stellar's Jay, See You Later Ranch, Ink Meep, Embezzle. There's so many. Jackson Triggs, Inniskillen. They have estates out there, as well as in Niagara, actually. Mm-hmm. So those are absolutely great. You can't get better value than Ruffino Prosecco, though. It's a great party starter.
I'm writing that down.
Good start. Those would be some of my absolute favorites, but, you know what, I love all my children, all my wine children.
Yeah. That's so funny. I think I've tried most of these. I haven't tried the Ruffino though, so I did write that down. I'm going to have to, treat my wife.
Another
to,
good one is Saintly.
Say that again.
Saintly. Another Saintly. Great one is Saintly. Yeah.
Okay. That's a Prosecco as well.
It comes in a rosé. It's a white. We just launched a new varietal.
That's awesome. Well, on the topic of Artera, I know there's been a shift in priorities when it comes to a direct-to-consumer audience. So what are some of the strategic moves that maybe you could share with me and the audience that you guys have made in the past couple of years?
Sure. So I think, with the shift to consumer centricity means that you really need to understand who the consumer is, mm-hmm. what their interests are, what influences them, what their buying habits are, as well as all of the great demographic insights that come of that. So we've actually built up a very strong insights team here at Artera. And that really is, I guess, some of the foundational a foundational starting point from when, you know, we're looking to develop any creative. Mm-hmm. As with a wide portfolio of brands, there's variation amongst each, and you really do need to understand, as part of the brand blueprint, which then evolves into the brand strategy, you really need to understand kind of all of these touch points and these influence drivers that's going to inform the kind of creativity that you are able to then develop. I've completely
starting with the insights, starting with the insights team. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. So started with the insights team. And so then my role particularly is focused on creative communications and partnerships. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple different ways that that's expressed itself. Again, going back to the brand blueprint and the brand strategy. So with the insights feeding into that, That's kind of a new exploration of, you know, rooting ourselves very deeply in that knowledge and then developing out the creative executions that follow from that. Brand communications is, you know, socializing some of the activities. And, you know, there's such tremendous work coming out of the organization. It's an easy share with you know, our counterparts across the organization. Also looking at developing programs, we launched, we have memberships with Cannes Lions. And so we've put on a couple of virtual events with Cannes Lions over the past couple of years, which has been great. And we do that as a marketing team, upwards of 50, 55 people. And lastly is partnerships, looking at new areas and new partners that we can work with that can obviously align with the brand, but also allows us to explore new territories and kind of new segments of the population. So a couple examples of that would be we've partnered with Skip and Uber with the wine rack, and that's been a tremendous success, I think, for all parties. And we've launched
expensive for me. I'm just going to say that right now.
Expensive.
I've just used it a lot.
Fast and direct, right to your door.
Super convenient.
And we've got Saintly launched a fashion collection, actually. So they developed sort of some hats and, you know, a series of candles and sweatshirts and things like that. So some branded memorabilia that way.
Cool.
We've done a number of partnerships that have allowed us to expand some of our programming in our grocery and liquor board retail spaces. So we've partnered with Castello Cheese and a number of different other kind of, you know, foods, CPG organizations to kind of bring things together. We've got a really exciting partnership out there right now with Shiseido and Bodacious Shiseido. Wine. Yes, so you can find that on the shelf now. And, you know, with every bottle served, you can get a mini lipstick. It's pretty extraordinary. And it comes with a great influencer partnership with Priyanka that we put on through our agency Dentsu. And there's a number of different activations that are going to be happening with that also. But anyways, those are just an example of a few things that we've done well.
Absolutely. I love the variety of different partnerships that you can have. It's always fun partnering with wine brands. And I would imagine that as, you know, as much value as you guys are finding out of these partnerships, that some of these partnerships, you know, they get way more value in being able to create messaging and touch points and communication strategies to touch your audience space. So that's really cool. You get to lead all of that. I want to take a step back from Artera and really just get your insights around, you know, you've around content and where it's going. So you have been a part of photojournalism where, you know, the workload required to get a piece of content up in front of an audience was significant and timely. Now in your current position, you still have a big team. And when you guys are looking at putting, you know, specific content in front of audiences, you now have the insight, the ability to look at insights, hard data to be able to inform your creative brief and even, you know, data from your partners that you get to use to inform your creative brief. What's next, you know, and speculation definitely encouraged here when it comes to content content and what people want out of content. You know, some of the trends in the last couple of years is obviously TikTok, right? As a platform, TikTok is, they're the opposite of what you grew up doing when you were a photojournalist. They're put on something completely raw, genuine, 15 seconds video only. And that's what, you know, the generation even below mine is used to, and the expectation of content is that. What's next? What's beyond this, right? You've seen the curve of basically slow content to immediate content, shortened content. What do you think is coming next?
Well, I think what's coming next, I believe what's coming next is going to be more rigor around the quality of the content that's getting developed. So
God, I hope so. Right.
But you know what? I mean, we're all spending all this time on TikTok scrolling because we're just captivated by the originality and the personalities and the, the speed and the immediacy of TikTok. I mean, it's just, it's extremely compelling. I think that as technology evolves, as people become more familiar with these platforms, I mean, you know, look at where, you know, Facebook and Instagram and, you know, even YouTube have come, right? Like, they are just incredibly powerful, powerful, you know, platforms now of excellent, you know, excellent content and high quality production that is happening there. So I think as every platform rolls out, you know, it starts with a little bit of a grittiness to it. And then, you know, again, that will continue to evolve. I do think that working with influencers and micro influencers is going to be incredibly important for the future. Certain established traditional organizations have a very loyal footprint, but it is very finite. With individuals, you have an opportunity to reach probably more of the kind of the general masses, maybe. Although I do know that, you know, people obviously are trying to form their niche in a way of standing out. There's so much content there that, you know, you have to really focus. But I do think that is going to happen. Digital storytelling, video, who knows what's going to happen with the metaverse. that's really going to be part of our everyday. And then, you know, really at the end of the day, the gold nugget for all organizations is first party data strategy. So this is kind of where it's all going. This is what organizations all want, to be able to talk and to message and communicate directly with their consumers. So that's going to be an interesting evolution. And, you know, we are at the forefront of that. We're developing a lot of different websites and our social media channels, things like that, email newsletters. So that's definitely a place of evolution for us and to continue down that journey. But I just think that you're going to have to find ways to definitely improve the quality of the work that you're doing, but really it goes back to content. Content is king, right? It's what you say that matters. You either need to, you know, inspire, inform, and educate. You need to just, be able to find a way to connect with your audiences through one of those vehicles. And that's what's going to make it, it's going to make it better. I think sometimes we see a lot of, you know, interesting, fun little quips and things like that, but that's not going to make me follow you. You might kind of give me a little moment of amusement, but I'm quickly going to scroll through because there's frankly a lot of that right now. So I think if you really do need to stand out, it's going to be doubling down on the kind of connection that you're forming through the content with your audience.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate the insight. I don't get to talk to, and I'm sure our audiences really get to talk to someone who's had the amount of experience and has been working in content for so long. And I apologize for calling photojournalism content. That's not my intention. I've got a couple other photojournalist friends and video journalist friends, and I know where they hold that versus content. So really appreciate the insight there. I'd love to switch over to our rapid fire question round before we wind up here. So there is no wrong answer. You can give me, you know, one word answers, you can give me one sentence answers, you can give me a paragraph long rants, it's up to you. But this is a great way for our audience to kind of get to know some of your gut answers here. So first question is, what was your first job? And this can be under the table, this can be on, you know, under the counter, whatever it was.
My first job was, I started my own camp. I grew up in a horse farm, and my friend Ginny Gayford and I, we launched our own riding camp. So we were able to find 10 kids, kids of my of our parents, who came over, and we taught them how to take care of their horses and ponies and how to ride, and we put on a little show at the end and gave everybody a ribbon and sent them on their way, and that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Aaron, are you a night owl or are you an early bird?
Night owl.
Night owl? Nice, me too. You know, if you weren't doing the current job you're doing, or if you didn't have to work, what would you be doing?
I would be roving the world. I would be doing what I guess started out initially. I'd be out there exploring and capturing moments and capturing experiences, meeting people and sharing that however I could. And I think I'd launch an Etsy store.
Amazing. What is a app on your phone that you cannot live without? And work apps don't count.
An app on my phone. Well, you know what? I'm a bit of an Instagram fanatic, so I do love Instagram.
I could have made that guess. I was going to say either the camera app or that. What's a life hack that you've discovered that you'd be willing to share with the audience?
A life hack. I guess a life hack would be organization. Making sure, having a number of different tools to be able, you know, life is so fast right now, you're dealing with so many different things, you're multitasking, making sure that you have all of the right ways of capturing information, organizing it, and being able to, you know, get what you need as fast as you can. Another life hack would be reading for an hour when you first wake up.
Oh, that's a good one. Instagram captions don't count there, I'm guessing?
Instagram captions don't count.
No. Okay.
I'm a bit of a newsletter junkie as well.
Yeah, me too. I read The Milk Road and Strategy every morning, so I can definitely agree with you there. Well, Aaron, it's been amazing to get to know you. Your background is something I'm quite jealous of. I would have loved to be there. I know a lot of our creators in the audience too would have loved to be in some of the times in history and the opportunities that you were able to take advantage of. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on content evolution. Really appreciate get to know kind of what your priorities are right now over at Arterra as well. This one will be definitely an episode that I think our listeners get a lot of value of. So thank you for joining us. And really appreciate your transparency and the sharing of your passion, I think, was very clear today, too. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.